May I speak to you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the last verse of this morning's gospel, why does Jesus solemnly say that those who refuse to forgive will themselves be refused forgiveness? Isn't that, to put it bluntly, so harsh as to be out of keeping with the rest of the gospel? Can't God override our failings at exactly this point? Apparently not. At least it seems that God will not. Forgiveness isn't like the meal that will be waiting for you back home, even if you fail to buy a sandwich and a cup of tea for a homeless person on the street. Forgiveness is essential and fundamental to who we are and our relationship to God and one another. Forgiveness is more like the air in your lungs. There is only room for you to inhale the next lungful when you have breathed out the previous one. If you insist on withholding it, refusing to give someone else the breath of life that they may desperately need, you won't be able to take any more in yourself, and you will suffocate very quickly. Our lungs are either open or closed. If they are open and able and willing to forgive others, they will also be open to receive God's love and forgiveness. But if it is locked to one, it will be locked to the other. Once again, our old friend Peter is given the role of asking a question that reveals serious misunderstanding. How many times should we forgive our fellow church members? Peter suggests 7. And Jesus replies, how about 70 times 7? The kingdom of God is based on forgiveness, God's forgiveness. But Jesus replies to Peter of 70 times 7 is cynical. If you are busy counting the numbers of times you have forgiven, you are failing to really forgive. You are just postponing revenge. Jeremiah 31, verses 34 says, I will put my law within, and I will write it within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Jeremiah is prophesying the coming of Jesus the Messiah and the kingdom of God. It is a world predicated on forgiveness. Accepting God's forgiveness is a necessary condition of consequence to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus wants to know how Peter can be a beneficiary of God's forgiveness and not be willing to extend that forgiveness to others. We cannot truthfully receive God's forgiveness unless we extend that forgiveness to one another. Receiving God's forgiveness is a prerequisite for extending forgiveness to others. As the Lord tells us in Jeremiah, the kingdom of God no longer requires each of us to teach one another, for I will forgive their iniquities and remember their sin no more. Forgiveness through God becomes the entry into the kingdom of God. It no longer becomes a teaching, but a way of being. Not receiving God's forgiveness means we are no longer able to extend our forgiveness to one another. Choosing or not choosing to receive God's unconditional forgiveness is choosing to enter the kingdom of God or not to enter the kingdom. Jesus concluded the parable of the unforgiving servant with the scene of the master turning over the servant to jailers to be tortured, saying, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart." I agree with Philip Yancey when he said in his book, "What's So Amazing About Grace?" The book we are currently reading in the Thursday book group, when he said, "I fervently wish these words were not in the Bible, but they are, from the lips of Christ himself. God has granted us a terrible agency. By denying forgiveness to others, we are in effect determining that they become unworthy of God's forgiveness. Thus so are we becoming unworthy." In some mysterious way, divine forgiveness depends on us. Wrestling with the command to love your enemies while being persecuted under Nazi Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Through the medium of prayer, we go to our enemy, stand by his side, and plead for him to God. Jesus does not promise that when we bless our enemies and do good to them, they will not despitefully use and persecute us. They certainly will. But not even that can hurt or overcome us so long as we pray for them. We are doing for them what they cannot do for themselves." Forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving another, I am trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving, I release my own right to get even and leave all issues of fairness for God to work out. I leave in God's hands the scales that must balance justice and mercy. The wrong doesn't disappear when I forgive. It loses its grip on me and is taken over by God. There is, of course, the risk that God may not deal with that person as I would want. But Paul in Romans reassures us, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay.'" None of us will find forgiveness easy. It may not feel emotionally satisfying. It may seem to have missed something, and the wounds may still cause us pain. We may have to go back again and again to God over and over to purge ourselves further, perhaps remembering that a ceasefire between ourselves depends upon a ceasefire with God. Remember the prophet Jonah's resentment towards God because he believed, in spite of their repentance, that Ninevites did not deserve God's forgiveness. Henry Nowy defines forgiveness as love practiced among people who love poorly. But God's forgiveness is unconditional. It comes from a heart that does not demand anything for itself, a heart that is completely empty of self-seeking. It is this divine forgiveness that I have to practice in my daily life. It calls me to step over all my arguments that say forgiveness is unwise, unhealthy, and impractical. It challenges me to step over all my needs for gratitude and compliments. It demands of me that I step over that wounded part of my heart that feels hurt and wronged, and that wants to stay in control and put conditions between me and the one whom I am asked to forgive. Jesus is saying that our failure to receive God's forgiveness will result in our inability to forgive one another. A world that forgets that this will be a world in a hellish state of being, a dreadful place. Our world knows what the alternatives to forgiveness becomes. Endless cycles of revenge manifesting in all levels of human interaction, including war and annihilation. This is what it means to be thrown into jail, to be given over to the torturous jailer. Breathe deep God's forgiveness and love, and breathe out the gift of life and forgiveness to all around us. Amen.